Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Chaf Dalid. Again, for those listening online, it's Elisha Greff. Rabbi Leibowitz is away for the next 3 days, so I'll be saying shir through Friday, and the rabbi will be back, God willing, for the shir on Shabbos and going forward. So the rabbi left off on Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, towards the bottom of the Amud, really in the middle of a discussion. So yesterday we had started the third parak of Maseches Sanhedrin. We had been speaking about the process of selecting a beis din, the concept of Zebor Lo Echa, Vishneim Borim Lam Odecha. And then what we really were focusing on yesterday was the topic that the Mishnah then mentioned of the concept of knocking out or of disqualifying the other litigants' selection for either Dayanim or selection for Edim. And the Gemara yesterday was troubled. How is it that somebody is simply allowed to disqualify an aid? So we are going, and so we saw yesterday that does it talk about when the person has only one set of aidim? Maybe it speaks about when the person has two sets of aidim. So we're going to pick up with that discussion in the beginning of the shir. Then the Gemara is going to transition on Chav Dalin Amud Aleph. The Gemara is going to pick up on a phrase that Reish Lakish said yesterday with respect to Rav Meir, that Reish Lakish had said, how could it be that Rav Meir says that one litigant is able to disqualify the Edim of another litigant? How could it be that he can knock out both Edim if they're not otherwise Krovim or Psulim? He could just say, I don't like your Edim, and therefore he's going to disqualify the Edus and render it impossible for the guy to bring Edim. So Reish Lakish had said yesterday, Peh Kadosh Yomer Davar Zeh, how's it possible that Rameir would say something like this? Ela Tani Edo. Rather, what it means is not that the one litigant is knocking out, is disqualifying the other litigant's Edim, but rather one litigant is disqualifying the other litigant's aid. And therefore, there still is one valid aid, and it's possible to get another valid aid to join that first aid. So it somewhat blunts the impact of the disqualification, because we don't say that it's disqualifying a kat of aidim, it's disqualifying only one aid. The Gemara is going to pick up on that language of Peh Kadosh Yomer Davar Zeh and have some interesting agadata about the difference between the way the Talmidei Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael used to conduct themselves toward one another and the way that the Talmidei Chachamim in Bavel used to conduct themselves towards one another. The Mishnah on the bottom, or towards the bottom of Chav Dalet Amud Aleph, is going to talk about what happens if the litigants stipulate that they're willing to accept certain people as Dayanim who generally would be disqualified to serve as Dayanim. So, for example, a guy says, so let's take for granted it's a rule that that one's relative cannot serve as a Dayan. So, for example, if I have a Din Torah, my father can't be a Dayan. What if the other litigant who I'm litigating against says, Neman alai abba, that's fine, your father could be, my father could be a Dayan, your father could be a Dayan, three shlosha roi bakar, three shepherds who don't know anything, they're amei aretz, they could be Dayanim. So is that stipulation binding, or can they back out? Does it depend on who made the stipulation? Does it depend on when they want to back out? Can they back out only before the Gemar Din? Maybe they could back out after the Gemar Din. So we will see all of that. And then if we get to it, there's a Mishnah on the bottom of, or towards the bottom of Chav Dalet Amud Beis, which talks about people who are puzzled to be Dayanim. And there are gamblers, there are people who profit off of Perishvias. That's going to launch into a discussion that's going to carry well into tomorrow's daf. So again, the rabbi left off Chav Gimel Amud Beis, actually right at the end of the first wide line. So just to reset the discussion over here, we had been wondering, so let's back up even further, I guess. So we had seen a Mishnah where the Mishnah had said, the first Mishnah of the third parak had said, that ze posal edov shal ze, veze posal edov shal ze, divrei Rav Meir. The Rav Meir had said that each litigant can disqualify the edim of the other litigant. And the Gemara was wondering yesterday, how could it be that each litigant can disqualify the edim of the other litigant? Each litigant is a nageh be'edus. Each litigant is, in order to disqualify the edim, you're going to have to testify that, you're going to have to attest, rather, you're going to have to assert that the edim are unworthy worthy to testify. They're disqualified for some reason. But you yourself are nogeya be'edus, because you know that if the guy can't bring edim against you, then he's going to lose the case for sure. So how could it be that you're believed to disqualify his edim? So the Gemara had said, we're talking about a case where there are two kite edim. Where there are two kite edim. So where there are two sets of edim. And Rav Meir had said that sarich levarer, that if you claim that you have two sets of edim, you actually have to bring both sets of edim. And therefore, why is the litigant believed to disqualify one of the sets of edim? Because no harm, no foul. The other guy would have had to brought his other set of edim anyway. He would have had to have brought his other set anyway, because once you claim that you have multiple sets of edim, you in fact have to bring multiple sets of edim. So the Gemara now says, end of the first wide line, Sanema Beplukta de Rebbe Vrabin Shimon Ben Gamliel Kamiflagi. So let's say that concept that we just said, that Rav Meir said Sarach Lavara, that Rav Meir said that if you claim that you have multiple sets of Edom, you actually have to bring both sets of Edom to Basin, and it's not sufficient for you to bring one set. Let's say that this machlokes is totally in the machlokes of Rebbe and Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel that we saw earlier in the Masechta. Detanya Habalidon, Detanya that we saw all the way at the end of Baba Basra, that we say Habalidon Bishtar Ubechazaka. Now, to back up to set the table for this discussion, let's remember from the end of Masechta's Baba Basra that if a person is living in a house and somebody says, "What are you doing in this house?" and the guy responds, "Well, I bought the house from you, and achaltiya shnei chazaka, and I was already here for the amount of time necessary to create the cheskas gimel shanim, but I lost my shtar." So the halacha is that if you've been there for 3 years and then you lose your star, you're believed because you have what's called a cheskas gimel shanim. That until 3 years, a person guards his star. After three years, a person is assumed to not be very careful about where he put his star. And therefore, if you claim that you came into the property by right, that you purchased the property, but now you no longer have your star and 3 years have elapsed, that's fine. Let's say, however, a person's sitting in a house and a guy comes over and says, "What are you doing in the house?" And he says, "Well, it was your house. I bought it from you. I was ochel shnei chazaka. I was here already for 3 years. And I also have a shtar to prove it." So the question is, now that the guy met, he didn't need the shtar because he had shnei chazaka. He had a cheskas gimel shanim. But he said that he had a shtar. So the question is, does he actually have to bring the shtar in as much as he claimed that he has it? So says the Gemara, Habalidam b'shtar ubechazaka. If a person claims an entitlement to the house on account of shtar and chazaka, nidam b'shtar devrei Rebbe. So Rebbe says that you're nidam b'shtar, that you must prove up the existence of the shtar, even though technically you don't need it because you've already been there for 3 years and you've established a cheskas gimel shanim, and after 3 years you don't have to bring the shtar. Once you opened up your mouth and said that you do have a shtar, you're going to have to bring it. The Yad Ramah says that after you bring the shtar, you no longer have to prove a raya on the chazaka because the shtar is much more probative than the chazaka. So once you prove the shtar, then you're good to go. But says Rebbe, because you opened up your mouth and started speaking about a shtar, now you have to prove up the existence of the shtar. And Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omar Nidam Bechazaka. And Rabban Shimon Gamliel says that you're Nidam Bechazaka, that you have to bring a raya on the Chazaka. And we ask, so what's Rabban Shimon Gamliel saying? That you have to bring a raya on the Chazaka, and it's not good enough to show the shtar? Says the Gemara, Ela Ema Af Bechazaka. No. What we don't mean that you have to bring a raya on the Chazaka. If once you've claimed that you have a shtar, if you can actually prove the shtar, if you can actually bring the shtar to basin and show that you have it, then fine. But if you can't bring the shtar to basin and you can't show that you have it, then it's enough for you to prove the chazaka. In other words, Rabban Shimon Gamliel says, and so the Gemara says, "V'kaimelon de b'tzarech levara pligi." And so what they're arguing is, they're arguing about tzarech levara, that Rebbe said, even though you, technically speaking, it's enough for you to prove an entitlement to this karka by showing you have a chazaka, once you opened up your big mouth and said that you have a shtar, now you have to prove up the shtar as well. And that's just like Rav Meir. Usually, it's enough to prove your case with one kat of edim. Once you've opened up your mouth and said that you have two kite edim, now you're going to have to bring both sets of edim. But the Chachamim are going to hold like Rav Shmuel Gamliel, that Rav Shmuel Gamliel says that even after you say that you have the shtar, you don't have to prove up the shtar, you could still rely on the chazaka. So too, even though you've said, even though you've claimed that you have two sets of Edim, you don't have to bring one set of Edim, and it's enough, you don't have to bring both sets of Edim, rather, it's enough to rely on one set of Edim. So maybe this machlokas is totally on that machlokas at the end of Baba Basra, says the Gemara. So the Gemara answers, lo, no, aliba de Rav Shmuel Gamliel, kuliyama lo please. Nobody argues in the Shita of Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Ki pligi aliba de Rebbe. They're all arguing according to Rebbe. The Rameir ka Rebbe. The Rameir holds like Rebbe, that Tzarech Lavarer in both cases, that if you go above and beyond and make a taina, even one that's not instrumental to your claim, you're going to have to prove up even your superfluous taina. The Rabbanan amri lecha, and the Rabbanan are going to say, ad kan lakoma Rebbe hasam ele b'chazaka de mikoach shtara kasi. Why does Rebbe say that you have to show the shtar and he does not allow you to rely on chazaka? Why? Because chazaka comes mikoach hashtar. What does it mean that chazaka comes mikoach hashtar? So Rashi explains that the chazaka is only as good as the taina that accompanies the chazaka. So in other words, if a person is in a house and a guy comes over and says, what are you doing in my house? And the guy says, I've been here for 3 years. That's not a good taina. If the guy responds, I bought it from you when I've been here for 3 years, that's a good taina, because he's saying that he's been here 3 years after he came into the property legally. What's the proof that he bought the property? It's the shtar. The only reason the chazaka works is because he's coming mekoach a taina where he says, I had a shtar, but I lost it. So that's why Rebbe would require you to prove up both. But maybe in our case where the guy is required to bring only one set of Edim, he claims he has two sets of Edim, maybe even Rebbe would agree that ain't tzarech levarer, that you don't have to bring both sets of Edim, because each set of Edim operates independently of the other. So unlike shtar and chazaka, where the chazaka comes mekoach shtar, here each set of Edim operates independently, therefore you don't have to bring both. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, last line. Ki yasa Ravin amar Rav Yochanan. When Ravin came, he said in the name of Rav Yochanan, so Reisha ve'edim psulim v'dayanim ksherim. So again, refresh ourselves, the Mishnah yesterday said that each one can passel the dayanim of the other, and each one can passel the edim of the other. So Reisha, in the beginning, we were talking about edim psulim v'dayanim ksherim, where the edim were passel, but the dayanim were kosher, and migi de pasel edim pasel nami dayane. And since once you can already passel the edim, therefore you're believed even legabe the dayanim, to passel the dayanim, and seifa b'dayanim psulim v'edim ksherim. And the seifa the Mishnah was talking about where the dayanim were passel and the edim were kosher, the migi the passel dayanim passel inami edim, where after you're believed to passel the dayanim, therefore you're going to believe. Therefore, you're going to believe the Edom as well. Rashi says that after Shenimtzu Dvarav Emes Aladayanim Shaposlim Eim Umisham Hachi Maminam Lea Edom Aliba Durab Meir. That's where our mayor says that you're allowed to apostle the Edom of the other guy. Rabbanan Les Lumigo, but the Rabbanan say no, just because you were believed to apostle is Dayanim does not necessarily mean that you're believed to apostle is Edom, and therefore, in fact, you cannot apostle is Edom. So Maskefla Rava, Sarava asks, Bishlam Amigo to Pasli Edim Pasli Name Dayani. So I understand that once the guy's believed to apostle the Edim with a tain of Krovim or Psulim, then he's believed to apostle the Dayanim because Ika Bedina Achrini, because passeling somebody's Dayanim is not fatal to the guy's case. Because he could select Dayanim, you could passel Dayanim, but guess what? At the end of the day, he could go select other Dayanim to preside over the litigation. However, this migu that because you're believed to apostle the Dayanim, you're also believed to apostle the Edim, va Edim Suleka. So, but there are no other Edim to prove the adversary's case, and therefore, if you want to passle the Edim of your adversary, you're in a gaba edus, because you know that if you knock out his Edim, he has no way of proving up his case. And why are you believed to testify? Why are you believed to argue? To prove that his Edim are passle, aren't you in a gaba edus? Says the Gemara, lo tzricha dika katacheres. Now, we're talking about where there's another, where there, where there, where there's another group of Edim, and therefore you're not considered a Nogea be'edus, because remember that Rav Meir had said that if you allege that you have more than one set of Edim, you're actually going to have to bring each set of Edim that you claim you have. So why is one litigant believed to possess the Edim of the other guy? He's not a Nogea be'edus because the other guy has other Edim, and he has to bring the other Edim because he claimed that he has them, according to the Shita of Rav Meir. So says the Gemara, okay, so that only works if there is another group of Edom. Alaka karacheres mai. So hachanami d'loposli. What if there is no other set of Edom? So the Gemara says, enichanami, if there is no other set of Edom, then even though you're believed to apostle the Dayanim, you're still not believed to apostle the Edom, because lagabi the Edom, you're nageba Edus, because you know that once you knock out his Edom, that's fatal to his case. So says the Gemara, Hainu the Rav Dimi, but that's the Shita of Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi also said that you're not believed to knock out his Edim. So Ika Benayu, Migu. So the difference is Migu, whether generally speaking we hold from Migu. Demar Savar, that Ravin says, Amrina Migu, that the Alma, Sarashi says that the Alma, in a general case, we will say Migu. And Umar Savar and Rav Dimi says, Lo Amrina Migu, that ordinarily speaking, we don't say Migu. In other words, not only do we not say Migu here, because you are a Nogea Be'edos La'inyan knocking out the adversary's Edim, but we never say Migu, whereas Ravin says, ordinarily, we will say Migu. Okay, so says the Gemara now, a little nice diversion until the Mishnah. So Gufa says the Gemara like this, Amar Reish Lakesh. So yesterday when we were seeing the Shita of Rav Meir, who says that one litigant can knock out the Edom of the other litigant, so Reish Lakesh had said, Pe Kodesh Yomar Davar Zeh. How could it be that Reish Lakesh could say such a thing and will permit the guy to knock out the Edom of the other litigant? How's that possible? He's in a Geba Edus. So the Gemara is going to focus on the language that Reish Lakesh used. So Amar Reish Lakesh, Pe Kodesh, so Rav Meir, Yomar Davar Zeh. How could it be that he would say such a thing? To me, a do. Therefore, we teach up Rav Meir that when he says that one litigant can apostle the Edim of the other litigants, it doesn't mean he apostles both Edim. It means he disqualifies only one of the Edim. But the case could still stand because you could be mitzaref another person to the first aid. So says the Gemara, Eini, V'yamar ula roetz Reish Lakesh b'beis ha-medrash kilu oker horem betochanan zeh bazeh. If a person sees Reish Lakesh in the base medrash, such an impressive sight, because with his incisive reasoning, he was able to grind two mountains together. In other words, just like nothing can withstand the pressure of being ground between two mountains, no svara could withstand the penetrating analysis of Reish Lakesh. So how could it be that Reish Lakesh was such a gon olam and he would speak about Rav Meir in such reverential tones? Says the Gemara, why is that so weird? Amar Ravina, v'alo kol haroa Rav Meir bebeis ha-medrash, kilu oker hare hare metochanan zeh bazeh. I'll give you that Reish Lakesh was an amazing Talmud Chacham. Rav Meir was an even more amazing Talmud Chacham. So why are you so surprised that Reish Lakesh would speak so reverentially about Rav Meir? So says the Gemara, it's not that I'm surprised that Reish Lakesh was speaking nicely about Rav Meir, because Eidei Chanami, Rav Meir was greater than Reish Lakesh. But Ochi Kamar Bore Kama Mechavavin Zeh Azeh. See how much each of the Talmidei Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael are mechavev the other Talmidei Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, Rashi explains, Klomer Loat Mui Kamet Mame. I'm not asking, oh, how is it that Reish Lakesh spoke this way about Rav Yochanan, about Rav Meir rather, Elochi Kamar. Bore Kama Bnei Eretz Yisrael Mechavevin Zeh Azeh. See how much honor they give to one another. Though Reish Lakesh Charif Chachim Tuva, Reish Lakesh is so smart, the Kori Le Rav Meir Pe Kodosh, yet he still referred to Rav Meir as Pe Kodosh, because he was showing him honor, and he was trying to touch up Rav Meir Shita in order to explain it and in order to validate it. Kiyodi Yosef Rebbe, and similarly, we see in Maisa where Rebbe was sitting Vekomer and he said, Asur lahatmin esatzone. So we know on Shabbos, it's usur to insulate hot food in order to retain the heat, because we're afraid that you might come to be Mosef Hevel. So Rebbe made a gzera that not only are you not allowed to insulate hot, you're also not allowed to insulate cold beverages, let's say in sand. Why? Because we're afraid that if we permit you to insulate cold, you might come to insulate hot as well. So Amar Lafan Rabbi Shmuel Barav Yossi. So Rabbi Shmuel Barav Yossi said to Rebbe, Abba Hitzer Lahat Minas Atzonein. Abba Rav Yossi said that it's mutter to be to do Hatmana on Sonein. And Amar Lay, and then Rebbe immediately backed away from Ashita. So Rebbe said, Kvar Ho Rezakein. So okay, so Rav Yossi said it's mutter. So Amar Apapa Bore Kama Mechavavin Zezeh. See how much they honor one another. The Ilu Rav Yossi Kayam, because if Rav Yossi was alive, Hayakofa V'yoshev Lefnei Rebbe, he would be subservient to Rebbe. Da Rav Yishmol Rav Yossi Memalei Mokom Avosavu, because Rav Yishmol Rav Yossi was as great as his father Rav Yossi. Hayakofa V'yoshev Lefnei Rebbe, yet he sat in shir in front of Rebbe. V'ka'amar Kfaro Rezakein, yet Rebbe said regarding Rav Yossi, who would have been subservient to Rebbe. Rebbe said, "Kfar Horazaken, I can't argue on him. He took so to heart the shita of Rav Yossi that he was willing to cede to Rav Yossi. Why were they kufuf to Rebbe if they were both greater than Rebbe? Because Rebbe was a nasi, and that's why they were kufuf to him. But in any event, we see over here the tremendous respect that the Talmidei Eretz Yisrael had for one another. So Amar Rav Oshia, what does it mean in the pasuk when it says Ve'ekach li shnei maklos, and I'll take two sticks, two staffs, le'echad karosi noam, le'echad karosi chovlin, to one I will call gracious, and to one I will call the assaulters. Noam elu Talmidei Chachamim Eretz Yisrael. Gracious is the way we refer to the Talmidei Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael, Sheman Imen Zeh Lazeh B'Halacha, that they complement each other, they're very gracious to each other in Halacha. Chovlin and assaulters, Elo Talmidei Chachamim Sheba Bavel, these are the Talmidei Chachamim in Bavel, Shema Chavlin Zeh Lazeh B'Halacha, who are Choval each other, they fight with each other in Halacha. In other Pasuk, Vayomar Eila Shnei B'nei Yitzar Omdim, these are the two sons of oil that are standing, Vishnayim Zesim Alea, and two olive trees near it. Yitzar, oil, is a reference. Amar Rav Yitzchak, Elu Talmidei Chachamim Sheber Eretz Yisrael. These are the Talmidei Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael. Shenochen ze la ze bahalacha. They are noach to each other in halacha. They are pleasant to each other in halacha. Keshem and Zayis, like olive oil, which is smooth and it's mild. It goes down nice and easy. Vishnayim zesim alea. And the olive trees, and olive trees are bitter, even though the ultimate processed oil is not bitter. The olive trees are elu tamid chacham shemabavel shemarurin zelazab alacha, that they're bitter towards one another in alacha. Kazayis like a zayis tree, like a zayis. Vesa enai, and I raised my hand, and I raised my eyes. Ve'erev ine shtayim nashim yotzos, there are two women going out. Ruach bekanfeim, and there is a wind by their wings. Ulahina kanafayim kikanfei a chasida, and they had wings like the wings of a chasida. Vatiseino eifa bein hashamayim vein aretz, and they picked up the eifa somewhere between the shamayim and the aretz. The Yomer lamalach hadover bi, and I said to the malach who was talking to me, Ana hema malichas es eifa, where are they taking the eifa? The Yomer Eli, and he said to me, Libnos labayitz beret shinar, to build a house in Eretz Shinar, in the land of Shinar. So what in the world is this talking about? So Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, zu chanufa vegasa saruach. The two women were a reference to the two bad traits of chanifas, of sanctimony, and also of arrogance. Sheyardu labavel, that they went to Babel. When they say livnas labayis bereshinar, they mean that these spirits, these beings, were taking these bad midos and transporting them to Babel. Says the Gemara, the gasas haruach labavel nachas, but did arrogance go to Babel? V'yamar mar asara kavin gasas yardu liolam, that ten kavim of gasas came to this world. Tisha nutla ilaim ve'achas kol olam kulo, that Elaim got nine of the kavim, nine of the measures of arrogance, and the rest was scattered dispersed throughout the entire world. So says the Gemara, in labavel nachas v'shavuve dishtavrav li'ilaim. Yes, it initially went to Babel, and then it moved to Elaim. So eventually Elaim had nine of the ten kavim of arrogance, but the first stop for this arrogance was in Babel. Dekanami, another raya, dechsiv libnos labayis be'eretz shinar shmamina. That it says that the woman took this libnos labayis beret shinar to build only one house in Eretz Shinar. So which house remained in Eretz Shinar? Only the house, only the bayis of Chanifas remained in Bavel, but the bayis of Gasus Haruach was laid down in Bavel and then eventually migrated to Elaim. So says the Gemara, but how could it be that Elaim got the nine kav of Gassus, V'yamar mar simon l'gassus aruach anias, v'anias l'bav al nachis, that how does it make sense that arrogance went to Elaim? Because arrogance is generally found together with poverty, and Bavel was the location where there was poverty prevalent, not Elam. So says the Gemara, Mayanias Anias Torah. Yes, Elam was impoverished, but it was impoverished in Torah. Dechsiv Achas Lanu Ktanim V'Shadayim Einla. Because when we refer to Elam, we say Achas Lanu Ktana. We have a young sister, and she has no breast. What does it mean she has no breast? That she's not able to give over, like a woman who's able to give over nourishment to her baby. Elam is not able to give over Torah. I'm Rav Yochanan, Zu Elam Shezach Saluma V'lo Zach Salalame, that they're Zocha to learn, but they're not Zocha to teach. Why is arrogance antithetical to Talmud Torah? Why? Because if you're arrogant, you're not going to make yourself subservient like these Tamid HaChachamim that we've been referring to in the Gemara. You're not going to want to learn from anybody, because you're going to say, why should I learn from him? I'm greater than him. So that's why if there's arrogance, there can't be transmission of Torah. Says the Gemara now, my Bavel, what, where does the name Bavel come from? Some Rav Yochanan, Blula B'Mikra, it's saturated with Mikra, Blula B'Mishnah, Blula B'Talmud. It's saturated with everything, with Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud. Tosfos over here, top Tosfos, a famous Tosfos says that if you notice, Talmud Bavli, which we learn every day, always brings down Psukim, and we have Mishnayis, and we have Gemara. So says Tosfos, really, just by learning Talmud Bavli, we could fulfill the Maimer Chazal that says, Liolam Yashlish Adam Limudo Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud. Because Talmud Bavli has everything, but Tosfos says we have the minig now that we say Karbonos. So in the span of Karbonos, we have a lot of Psukim, and then we have the Mishnah of Ezem HaKom and Shalzvachim, and for Gemara, we have Rabbi Shmuel Omer, the Yud Gimel Midah Shator Nidreshes Bem. So says Tosfos, even though we could satisfy all this by learning Talmud Bavli, still we make sure every day in the context of Tfilah to make sure that we're Mekayim this Mimer. Last, so the Gemara finishes off now, but Machashanim Hoshivani Kimesei Olam, you have placed me in darkness like the eternal dead. Amar Rav Yirmiya Zet Talmuda Shel Bavel. This is the Talmud Bavli of the Babylonian Talmud. It's unclear whether this is saying something complimentary or not. Rashi seems to say that it's not complimentary. Why is the Talmud Bavli considered to be like darkness? Rashi says she'ein nochen zem zev talmudam suffek biyada, because they never agree with each other and therefore they're always fighting and you always have a suffek what the halacha is. The problem, according to Rashi's explanation, is we know that when there's a machlokas between the Talmud Bavli and the Talmud Yerushalmi, we always follow the Talmud Bavli. So we always paskin like the Talmud Bavli. So the Rishonim work on why is it that we're always paskin like the Talmud Bavli if, in fact, the Talmud Bavli leaves us so confused. So the famous answer of the Rif says that the Talmud Bavli came chronologically after the Talmud Yerushalmi, and the Bavli therefore knew whatever the Yerushalmi said, and if the Bavli came out a different way than the Yerushalmi, it was because the Bavli was cholik on the Yerushalmi. In other words, the Bavli knew it and was cholik. That's why we're going to paskin like the Talmud Bavli. The Rabbeinu Chananel disagrees with Rashi and says that the Pasuk is actually praising the Talmud Bavli. In other words, it's not saying that we're left with all these fakos because the Talmud Bavli is so inscrutable. What it means is that the arguments are so deep and profound in the Talmud Bavli, you have to work so hard to get to what the real truth is, and therefore it's like you're groping around in darkness. Ultimately, though, you do appreciate what it is that the Talmud Bavli has to offer, and that's why we always paskin like the Talmud Bavli. All right, we got to get moving. So says the Mishnah. So Amar Lo. So let's say one of the litigants stipulate Neman Alai Abba that my father, who's ordinarily ineligible to serve as a dayan, he could be a dayan. Neman Alai Avicha, I believe your father. Neman Alai Shlosha Roy Boker, three Ameya Aretz can be the dayanim. So Rameir Amar Yachal Achzerbo. So Rameir says you're allowed to make this tnai, but you're also allowed to be chozer on the tnai. The Chachamim Omrim in Yachal Achzerbo. The Chachamim say no. Once you make this tnai, you are bound by the tnai. Why is it that you can stipulate that somebody who's puzzled to be a dayan could be a dayan? So the Aruch HaShulchan explains, because any Tanai Sheba Mamon is valid. In other words, if I wanted to, I could give my money to you. you know, but we're subjecting ourselves to a din Torah. So instead of giving my money to you, I could stipulate that I'm going to abide by any particular tenai, with regard to how to conduct this din Torah. So we see in machlokas Rav Meir and the Chachamim, are you allowed to be chozer or not? Rav Meir says yes. Chachamim say no. So ayachayev lechavei reshvua. Let's say you were chayev a shvua to your friend. V'omar lo, and you say dar li bechayev roshcha. He says take a personal shvua instead of taking a shvua shel beistin. What's a shvua shel beistin? A shvua shel beistin, we're going to see, was a very awesome experience where you would hold a Sefer Torah, they would administer the Shvua with the Shem Hashem. It was very, very intimidating. Whereas a personal Shvua is Stam, a regular Shvua. So let's say one of the litigants said, you're Chayiv a Shvua to me, but I'm not going to put you through the ringer. You don't have to make the Shvua Shel Beis Din. I'm going to accept even a personal Shvua from you. So says the Gemara, say machlokas, Rav Meir Amar Yochalach. So Rav Meir says that you're allowed to back away from this stipulation. The Chachamim say, no, once you make this agreement, you cannot back away from this agreement. So says the Gemara. So Amar Rav Dimi, Brei de Rav Nachman, Brei de Rav Yosef, Kagon de Kibli Alea Bechad. That what we're talking about over here is where you accept the father or the other litigant's father as one of the Dayanim. And therefore, and says Rashi, v'afalgav v'ika trei achrini b'hadei, even though there are two others with him, Amra Meir, Yachalachsav, or a Meir says, still you're allowed to be chozer, because this guy technically is ineligible to be a dayan. And Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, just now says Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, machlokes b'machalach. But the machlokes is only where the plaintiff makes the stipulation. Machalach meaning, because we're assuming that the plaintiff is claiming to the defendant, you have my money. So in other words, if the plaintiff loses the case, it's as if he's saying, machalach, okay, you could keep my money. Whereas the defendant is saying, the defendant wants actually to take the money from the plaintiff. So the machlokes is only b'machalach, is only where the plaintiff makes the stipulation. Aval be'etein lecha, but where the defendant makes the stipulation, because if, again, it's the defendant who's holding on to the money, and therefore if the defendant loses the case, he's going to have to give the money back to the plaintiff. That's why the defendant is called etein lecha. However, but if the defendant makes the stipulation, divrei hakol yachalach sobo, then everybody agrees that you could be chozer. Why does everybody agree that you could be chozer? Rashi explains the whole of Amomon Biyado, because he's holding on to the money. The only way the plaintiff can extract the money is if Dayanim Ksherim rule that the defendant has to give the money back. So Rav Yochanan Omar, Rav Yochanan says, no, be'etin l'cha machlokas. The machlokas is where the defendant makes a stipulation, but he doesn't say what the din is when the plaintiff makes the stipulation. So ibaylu, be'etin l'cha machlokas, aval b'macha l'cha, but where it's the plaintiff was making the stipulation, divrei hakol ein yachalach sabo. Does everybody say that you can't be chozer? Odilma, bein bezu machlokas. Or maybe they argue in both cases. Says the Gemara, Toshma Diyamar Rava, machlokas be'etin l'cha. The machlokas is where the defendant makes a stipulation. Aval b'machalacha, but where the plaintiff makes the stipulation, divrei hakol ein yachalach sabo. Everybody agrees that you are not able to be chozer. So says the Gemara, so now I see Rava's holding like Rav Yochanan. But if Rav Yochanan says that the machlokas Rav Meir and the Chachamim is whether the plaintiff makes a stipulation or whether the defendant makes a stipulation, Rava the Amar Kaman. Who does Rava hold like? Says the Gemara, Rava time is enough Shei Kamar. What's the big deal? Rava's expressing his own view. He doesn't have to hold like either Rav Yochanan or the Chachamim. So Eisvei Rav Acha bar Tachlifa la Rava. So Rav Acha bar Tachlifa asked Akasha and Rava, Hayechayv lechavei reshvua, from the second case of our Mishnah. If the guy was chayev reshvua to his friend, v'yamar lo, and the guy says, dar li b'chayev roshcha, I'll accept a personal shvua. Rav Meir amar yachalach sabo. Rav Meir says that you could retract from the stipulation. V'chamam em yachalach sabo. The Chachamim say you can't retract. So my lav ba'osam hanishboim v'lo mishalmin. So aren't we talking about a nishba in order to potter from paying, davale kamachalacha, which is like the plaintiff, because he's taking the shvua to get out of paying. So says the Gemara, lo ba'osan anishpav notlin. No, we're talking about those who take a shvua and then take the thing, davila ke'etin lacha, where it's like you're the defendant. Vatanile Reisha, but why do I need two machloks in over here as to whether the plaintiff or the defendant is allowed to retract from a stipulation that they make regarding the process of the Din Torah? Says the Gemara, Tana Tola Bedas Acherim V'Tana Tola Bedas Atzmo. Because one of the cases is Lagabe, the type of Dayanim that you're going to accept upon yourself. The other is on the type of Shvua that you're going to accept. V'Tzricham, we need both cases. The Tana Tola Bedas Acherim, if you would only have the Machlokas by the Dayanim, Ba'okam Rav Meir, that's where a Meir says that you're allowed to be Chozer, Demotzi Hodarbe, Mishum Dlo Gomeru Makni, because you never were very sincere with a stipulation, Demar Mi Yemar Demizaki Le'aba, because he was never really confident that these Dayanim, who are ineligible to really serve as Dayanim, would actually rule in his favor. Therefore, he was never Meshabed himself to actually abide by the Tanai. Aval Tola Bedas Atzmo, but by Tola Bedas Atzmo, where he's accepting the other guy's personal Shvua, Ema Modeluhu L'Rabbana, maybe agrees with Rabbanan that in that case he can't retract. Viashmina Baha, and if you would only argue by the Shvua, Baha Kamri Rabbanan, that's where the Rabbanan say that you can't retract. Avabahi, but by the case of the Dayanim, Ema Modeli Rabbanan L'Rameir, maybe they agree to Rameir that you were never Meshabed yourself to abide by the Tanai because you were never really sure how the Dayanim were going to come out. Tzricha, that's why we need both cases. Okay. So says the Gemara now the following question. When are you allowed to back away from these stipulations? It's only before the Gemar Din. Avala achar Gemar Din, however, after the Gemar Din, divrei akol ein yachol achsebo. Everybody agrees that you cannot be chozer on the stipulation. The Yad Rama explains, if you carry this Din Torah all the way through to the Gemar Din, then you're showing that you're okay with the Dayanim. You're okay with the Dayanim who you stipulated. And now, after the Gemar Din, after you see that they're going to rule against you, now you want to back away? No, thank you. We're not going to let you do that. Rav Yochanan Amar, but Rav Yochanan says, la'achar Gemar Din machlokas. No, the machlokas, whether you can retract, is dafka after the Gemar Din. So Ibailu, Lachar Gmar Din Machlokas. So what's his shita? Is it Leachar Gmar Din Machlokas Avalaf Negmar Din Divrei Akol Yachalach? So everybody agrees that you could retract before Gmar Din. Odilma Bainbazu Machlokas. Or maybe they're arguing whether you can retract. And the argument is both after Gmar Din and before the Gmar Din. Tashma, let's bring a raya. Diamarava, kibel alav korav apostle. If you accepted upon yourself a korav or apostle to be a dayan, lefnei gemar din before the gemar din yachal achzabo, lachar gemar din ein yachal achzabo. So iam rabishlam lachar gemar din machlokes avalefnei gemar din divrei akol yachal achzabo. Rava demark rav yochanan valibed rabbanan. So that's the shita. Eli iam rab bein bezu machlokes. So rava demark command. So who's rava holding like? So we see that the machlokas is after the Gemar Din, but before the Gemar Din, everybody agrees that you can retract. Tosfos over here says, why don't we answer like we did on Amud Aleph, that Rava doesn't have to hold like any of these shitas because Rava is coming to express his own view. So Tosfos' answer is because over here, Rava is apparently coming to Paskin a Halacha. And if you're coming to Paskin a Halacha, you have to Paskin like one of the shitas. Over there, Rava was just adding to a discussion. And when you're adding to a discussion, you can either be holding like one of the other shitas, or you could be bringing a new shita. Now the Gemara is going to conclude with a bunch of Piskei Halacha. Shalach le Rav Nachman bar Yaakov, Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu, lefnei Gemar Din Machlokes, o la'achar Gemar Din Machlokes. Is the Machlokes before Gemar Din or after Gemar Din? V'alocha kedevrei mi. Shalach le la'achar Gemar Din Machlokes. The Machlokes is la'achar Gemar Din. The halacha k'divrei chachamim, and the halacha is like the chachamim that you cannot be chozer. So you can only be chozer before the gemar din, but not after the gemar din. So Rav Ashi Amar Haki Shalach Lei Be'etin Lecha Machlokas O B'Machal Lecha Machlokas. Is the machlokas where the defendant makes a stipulation or where the plaintiff makes a stipulation? V'halacha k'divrei mi Shalach Lei Be'etin Lecha Machlokas. The machlokas is where the defendant makes the stipulation. V'halacha k'divrei chachamim, and the halacha is like the chachamim, and therefore, whether it's the plaintiff who makes the machlokes or the defendant who makes the machlokes, you cannot retract like the chachamim. Besura masni hachi, bepetisa masni hachi. Amrav Yochanan bar Shalmei
Rav Chanina bar Shalmei shalach lei mi be Rav Lishmol yamdein Rabenu lefnei Gemar Din v'konam yado mai. Let's say we already said that you can't retract after Gemar Din. How about before Gemar Din? If you made a kinyan to show how bona fide your intent was to abide by your stipulation, shalach lei ein la'achar kinyan klum. If you're going to show a gemiras das enough to the extent that you're going to make a kinyan on in order to ratify this stipulation that you're going to accept whoever it is to be the Dayan, after that, there is no retracting, and therefore it has the force of it being after the Gemar Din. So we'll pick up with the next Mishnah, God willing, tomorrow.